Good afternoon.
Добрый день.
We're about to get started. Well, I haven't done anything yet. But thank you. Thank you for the nice welcome. Are you enjoying the conference so far? So my name is Larry Lieberman, and I'm going to speak to you today about what's new for developers in Windows and Windows Phone. I'm a product manager at Microsoft. I work in the Windows organization working on the development platform. I've been there for about 15 years, and not just in that role, but in lots of different roles. And now I work exclusively on development platform, been focused on developers for a long time. My job is mostly about trying to get developers the information they need in order to create great apps and games for Windows and Windows Phone. You may have noticed that Microsoft has been evolving quite a bit lately in a really fast manner. We have a new CEO, of course, but part of this is about recognizing that the world has changed quite a lot in the last 5-6 years. And our focus now is more than ever before really on competing in an aggressive manner in this cloud-first, mobile-first world. So Windows is an important part of that puzzle. As a company, we've always been focused on developers. If you think about it, our first products were programming languages back in the 1970s. But you know, beyond that, as we evolved, we continued to be very much focused on creating ecosystems in which our partners could all have thriving businesses. And it's this partner focus, I think, that really makes Microsoft uniquely suited towards competing in this new world. And so, as you look at what's been happening with mobile, with for the vast majority of the world, the first computer will be a mobile device, and Microsoft is more than ever before focused now on competing in this with the mindset of a challenger. We know that we're the challenger, and we're going to aggressively do what it takes in order to compete in this world. And so you see us making changes and design decisions with regard to Windows that are focused on being a better competitor, on creating better ecosystems for people. And and we're getting recognized for that. So Windows still runs on over 1 billion PCs out there. Hundreds of millions of people are on Windows 8 as of this point. So we think that it's a firm foundation for the future. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is the things that we've done in Windows with this release. A lot of these announcements were made last month at the Build conference. And I don't know how many of you saw that. I'm going to cover a lot of that information. I'm going to do some demonstrations about how this works as well. But I'm also going to talk a little bit up front about some of the new consumer features we announced in Windows Phone, and then go into the dev platform and what this new converged app model is, how we enhanced and improved multitasking, and then some of the things that we gave you developers in order to create more engaging features in your applications. So let's start off by talking about Windows Phone 8.1. This is a really big release for us of Windows Phone. A lot of what it had to do with was adding some of these new features that people wanted, like a new start screen. We think we have one of the most personal phones available on the market today because you can make it yours. You can put the items you care about most on the start screen. And one of the features that we announced, that we actually unveiled with some of our larger phones, like the 1520, was this three-column format, three medium-sized tiles across the start screen. And a lot of people told us they wanted to see that on all our phones, not just on the high DPI phones. So now, on any of the phones, you're able to select, once you've got Windows Phone 8.1, you're able to select this option to have three columns of medium-sized tiles across the top. Across the screen. And this gives you greater ability to show more content on that screen. Another great feature that we unveiled with regard to the start screen is this customized start background. And it's a really slick feature. Let me just actually demonstrate that really quick because I think it's so great. And I'm actually going to just project from my phone right here. This is actually another new feature, the ability basically anyone with Windows Phone 8.1 can now project their screen. That's something that a lot of people asked us for, and previously it required a very special build with all sorts of proprietary legal issues, so we couldn't distribute it. But now we've solved that, and we have the ability to give this to everyone. Every person who has Windows Phone 8.1 can now do this. And as the new hardware becomes available, we'll have full support for Miracast as well. So you'll be able to project not just through USB, but also through Miracast. But the thing I wanted to show you here first is this customized. You'll see I've got, even though this is not a 1080p device, this is a Lumia 1020. You can actually see I have three rows of medium-sized tiles across top, and I also have a start background, and I can just go into my start control panel here, and I can change this, and we ship with a number of different backgrounds. I can go and pick something like that, I think looks kind of nice. And then that becomes the theme of my start screen. You can see it sort of ties around the back. So we think that's really cool. I just wanted to share that with you. Another new feature we announced is Cortana, a new personal assistant that replaces the search experience. It basically is a full personal assistant. And if you're familiar with these on other platforms, the personal assistant software basically learns what your behaviors are and will provide you information dynamically based on what it knows about your behavior. So at the end of the day, it will show you the distance to your commute with travel time, with traffic. It will pick up if you have a receipt from an airline and show you the actual flight information. And it's continuing to evolve. It's in 8.1, it's releasing as a beta. It's a back-end service that we're working on. It's a pretty compelling service. Vlad, there's going to be a talk tomorrow going in depth about how it's extensible, because it's very basically evolving our existing speech API. Developers can now go in and actually leverage Cortana as well. They can add their application as a target for personal assistant activity. And there's a talk on that tomorrow if you're interested. A lot of additional features here that we added, all in response to feedback that we got. We added an action center that brings together all of the notifications that you may have received from the push notification service. We have new integration with Skype. You can convert a call from a regular phone call to a Skype phone call in the middle. We have a new calendar app, which shows great new week view. We've got this WordFlow keyboard, which uses swipe-type gestures to allow you to create words on the fly very, very quickly. And there are some other things here, too, that allow the developer to ship uniform experiences across the phone and the tablet. And I'll talk about those in a little bit when we get to them. Remote viewing I showed you, as well as installing the ability for users to install their apps to an SD card. Now, for phones that ship with very low amounts of memory, this is actually a fantastic feature because they can then add an SD card and install their applications to that SD card. All things people have been asking for, and we're delighted to bring them in this release. But what's new in the platform? Well, by far, the most important thing we did in Windows Phone 8.1 was the release of a new universal platform. And let me talk to you about that a bit, because as users, most of us, many of us nowadays, use multiple devices. We use a phone, we use a notebook PC, we use a desktop PC sometimes, we use tablets. And you're using applications that, in some cases, will exist on all those different experiences. So it's definitely a natural response for someone to feel like they should be able to have a uniform experience across these different devices. And as a developer, you want to be able to bring your experience to these different form factors with as little work as possible. And so we took our focus on the developer experience, and we're introducing in this release Universal Windows Apps. Universal Windows App is an application experience that you create that can be deployed to a tablet, to a phone, or a desktop, and you can do the work to tailor the UI appropriately. Now, we've gone even further. Now, this isn't just about UI, and it's not just about APIs. Because we've worked with developers for such a long period of time, we know that the developer journey, the developer life cycle, is made up of a lot of different components. You design and deploy a user interface in the context of your app, but you're leveraging an application model. Those applications run in a particular life cycle on the device. You access certain types of APIs on the device, which ideally massively accelerate your ability to deliver features. And you use tools, of course, to deliver applications, IDEs, profilers, debuggers, and you sell those apps in a store. Every single one of these pieces has a component, has an aspect of it required in order to deploy and manage and create these applications for multiple device types. And in this release, we've touched on all of these. User experience, we have, you know, with very, very little work, you can deploy an application that leverages, that scales appropriately. If you, you know, take a few rational steps to design your UI in a responsive manner, you can very, very easily. This is an application called Paint for Kids, and here it's demonstrating that on the larger screens, it's showing more content. Well, that doesn't seem that complicated. That seems very much a no-brainer thing to do, but you get this for free if you use the right controls. Now, the next thing, though, is you may want to tailor that experience based on the type of device you're running on. And we make that very easy with Universal Windows apps, too. We give you the ability to create separate head projects for each target type, and you can then tailor the UI by building specific pages for those target device types. And here's an example of Epicurious app that's showing a list view on a phone. But on a tablet, it's got this two-in-one device in the middle, a bit of a larger screen. And then, yet again, on the PC, it's got much, much more information density, because that's more appropriate on a PC, where you can read the screen more closely. Application model. You know, here, we provide developers the ability to leverage the technologies and platform componentry that they're familiar with, that they're comfortable with. So UI layer, you know, as a .NET developer, I'm more familiar with XAML, and I'm very comfortable with XAML. But somebody building game engines or a game may want to build, you know, purely on native C++ with DirectX. And a web developer may want to use HTML and JavaScript. But all of these different programming languages and approaches can access the same set of APIs in the Windows runtime because of the way that Windows runtime works. It projects the APIs out so they can be accessed from these different layers. And we've continued to follow that paradigm in this release. Now, for tools, I mentioned this briefly already, but Visual Studio has been updated to support a new project solution called Universal Apps. And I'll show you these in a few minutes. We'll walk through it. But this now allows you to create a project type that targets both Windows Phone and tablets at the same time. And you can compile to each and then submit to each of the two stores. Now, I said two stores. Yes, we still have two stores that you submit to. We are driving towards getting to one, but we're being very cognizant to do it in a way that makes as much sense as possible. Because you want to provide users a particular set of experiences, and you also need to provide developers another set of experiences. So one of the main things we're doing in this release is we're allowing developers to link an application across the two stores. If it's the same experience you want to deliver, you link those two application experiences, and that gives you the ability, if it's a pay-for-app, you can charge one price, and the end user gets it on both. It also gives you the ability to share a notification channel across the two, which is very interesting, because if you push a notification, you want it to appear no matter what device the user is using. And then the other thing that you get as a result of linking those two apps is the ability to share data. And now we have a network data option that you can leverage that allows you to share data in the cloud for free with an app written for Universal Windows app, and then access that data from both devices. So this makes a lot of sense if you want to save state, for example. You want to actually bring the user to whatever they were looking at, in, regardless of what device type they're using. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, too. This is just an overview here about what we've been talking about. Now, the other really important thing for us is protecting the investments of our developers. So for Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 7.5, and Windows Phone 8, the XAML programming model was Silverlight. And we didn't necessarily talk about it as Silverlight in the last release. And this is because we found that a lot of developers, when you talk to them about Silverlight, think exclusively of the web browser plugin, which is a different manifestation. But phone programming in Silverlight on the phone is really just XAML and C#. And we're using the term again now because what we've done is we've aligned the XAML programming approach across Windows and Windows Phone to the next version, which is Windows XAML. And the thing is that because we wanted to protect investments, of course, all existing Silverlight 8.0 apps continue to run on Windows Phone 8.1. An end user who upgrades their phone wants their applications to work. So of course that works. However, we went a step further. We wanted to give developers who were not yet ready to move to the new XAML format the ability to upgrade their apps to Silverlight 8.1 and then access all of these new features, these developer scenarios, for Windows Phone 8.1. So that's an option for developers as they're first getting their feet wet targeting Windows Phone 8.1, is to use Silverlight Phone 8.1 and then access these new features. Now, when a developer's ready, or if they're starting new, what we recommend people do is that they use a universal Windows app using Windows XAML, and that enables you this ability to access these new universal project types, like I mentioned. But the point is that it's critical for us to protect the investments of our developers, and that's why we're doing this. Now, convergence on Windows Phone didn't just happen overnight. It's been a journey. This is a little bit of an inside view on the path that we've gone through here. Windows Phone 7.5 was the first time that we shipped with significant componentry shared across Windows and Windows Phone. In Windows Phone 7.5, we shipped with Internet Explorer 9 on the phone, which was actually built out of the identical code tree of desktop Internet Explorer. Same rendering engine, same JavaScript engine, and that greatly. And we also had DirectX, but you know, games were mostly done with XNA in Windows Phone 7.5, and apps were done with Silverlight XAML. In Phone 8, however, we had the first substantial shift because this is where we moved to the NT kernel on Windows Phone and had the same shared core operating system on phone and Windows. And that was the result of a really, really long project. In fact, it started at the same time as Windows Phone 7 did. But only at Windows Phone 8 were we able to actually release this and then bring the UI over as well so that you had the same shared core, the same shared set of APIs, and to some extent. We had the first inkling of APIs that were available across both in this release. And then we also brought native programming and DX as well as a converged web browser again and more APIs that were shared. Windows Phone 8.1, however, is the first release now where we have a universal programming model across both, where we have a massively substantial amount, vast majority of the API surface area is shared across the two. And we now have the tooling and the developer services in the back end to support, you know, maximizing your code reuse across the two and creating an experience in the store for users that really feels as though they're consuming one application. Now, here's where we were with regard to API convergence. In 8.0, we had about 30% of the APIs converged. And in 8.1, we're now way over 90%. Like I said, most of the places where the API is not the same are places where it makes sense, where there are certain things like SMS, for example, which you're very unlikely to have a cellular radio stack on the tablet that's supporting SMS messaging. And there's a few others as well. There are a couple areas, there's just a very few, where things are not yet converged, but that they will be eventually, where we simply just didn't have time. But regardless of that fact, the vast majority of the APIs are shared across the two. So I'm going to actually take a little time to walk you through what this looks like in Visual Studio, because I think it's one of the most impressive things that we've got here in this release. Now, Visual Studio, this is Visual Studio 2013. I'm running Ultimate here, but there's also a free version, the Express version, which you can get. We just released Update 2. And we had a release candidate at Build, and then we had the full release back around May 12th, I think it shipped. You can actually go get the Express SKU for free with the update integrated. You don't have to download another update. And you can get that from dev.windows.com if you don't have it yet. How many of you have been writing applications or games for Windows or Windows Phone for the store? A few of you. OK. Well, so let me just take a little time to walk through this and show you what we've got here. Because if I start a new project, you'll see now once you've installed the update, you get a new target type called Store Apps and then Universal Apps. And under Store Apps, you'll see here I've got Universal Apps, Windows Apps, and Phone Apps. And I happen to be under C# because I like programming in C#. But you get Universal Apps for native C++ and also for HTML and JavaScript. So you don't only have C# as an option here. I have a number of different templates here available to me, a blank app, a hub app. Hub is a new control type that actually looks very similar to the panorama control, but it actually can be dynamically configured appropriate to the device type. So you can actually create shared UI using the hub control and have it render appropriately. We also have class libraries and runtime component here as well. But to start off here, I'm going to show you a blank application. So I select that, and it creates my blank app. And I'm actually going to start over because I want to give this a specific name. Let's go. Okay. So it creates the project here. And what you'll see is I have a solution that has a number of different projects in it. It has a Windows project, it has a Windows Phone project, and it has a new type of directory, a shared project. And the shared area is where you're going to put your shared code. And there's no shared code in here yet except the app.xaml.cs. Which those of you who are XAML programmers know that's actually that defines some of the behavior of your primary class, your app class. And if you look inside app.xaml.cs here, you'll see it's showing on the left-hand side. You'll notice there are some pound if definitions here. And this is actually defining behavior that's conditional based on which target you're compiling against. Now, there's a new feature here that allows you to switch the context. So say I wanted to switch to see what this file looks like on Windows Phone, I can actually select Windows Phone, and you'll see there now this conditional is no longer grayed out, showing that I can actually, you know, that's actually a conditional code that will run on a Windows Phone binary. I can also use these to show different UI when I'm looking at UI as well that's shared. So it's a really useful tool. And if you'll notice some of the conditional code here, it's actually kind of interesting to look at. Windows Phone app, here's some conditional code that's defining some of the properties that are associated with the transitions that you see, the animations that you see in Windows Phone applications. In Windows Phone 8.1, for the first time, we now have all of the standard animations accessible to you very easily. And they're set up here in the app.xaml.cs. They don't exist on Windows, tablet, or PCs at this point. So it's conditional code, as you see here. The next thing I'm going to show you here is, like, we're going to go in, and I'm going to actually go. I have some code that we've already written that shows how to. It's basically just a Flickr, the Flickr photo search, photo service. It's an application that goes out to the Flickr service, and it grabs photographs. And I'm basically going to build a client here, an application for Windows that leverages this service, and then I'm going to show you how easy it is to take that code and create the analogous application on phone using a universal project. But I just dragged these two files in here, Flickr Searcher and Template Utility, these two CS files. This is a class, this Flickr photo result. There's two things going on in this file that I just will show you really quickly. We're basically defining an HTTP client. The HTTP client object is going out to the Flickr service and performing a search. And that search, the search string here, let's find the search string, is just for flowers. We're just searching for flowers. And it's going to bring that search back and put it into this object here, this Flickr photo result object. Let's create some UI for this too. So I'm going to go in here to my mainpage.xaml in my Windows app first. And it's loading the designer here. And you get the design time experience. If you've done any XAML programming, you're very familiar with this. Here's my tablet app. And I can go and I just define some rows. I can just very quickly add a couple rows here. Some of the nice things about the designer, which you may or may not be aware of, is that you can just go in here and define that I want that to be a pixel definition, and I want that to be 40 pixels. I can go in here and say I want this to be another pixel definition. I'm going to make that 40 pixels. Let's make that second one actually 100, just to give myself some more room. And you'll see all that did really is it just added this code here with the row definitions really quick. But I'm going to insert some code here that does adds the search UI. And basically, this is just adding a text block at the top. You can see here, I've got that text block and then a grid view. And then I can go in here, and I'm going to add another one to create the template of my search data. And so this is basically going to add a data template defining what that grid of images is going to look like. Now, in designing UI, it can be really important. Like, the one complicated thing here is that this is an application that goes to the internet, grabs some data, brings it back, and puts it into a grid. And it can be difficult to visualize the UI because there's no data here in the design experience. Well, one of the great things we have is we have this feature, this product called Expression Blend that ships with Visual Studio. You get it for free with Visual Studio. And Blend is very, very much focused on the design experience. And so one of the features it has, you can just say open in Blend, and it will open this page up directly in Blend. One of the coolest features that Blend has is something called design time data. And it can take any object in your application and automatically generate filler data so that you can create the view of your application that you want it to look like. So if I go to the data tab here, and I just go here and I say create sample data from class, it'll bring up the classes in my application. Okay, let's new sample data. This document. I need to go project. Create sample data from class. Okay, they're not showing for me. Well, let's go look at one I did earlier. So the beauty of the sample data is that you then get the ability to look at the design and what it's going to look like when the data comes back. And that's a really critical feature. So here we previously defined some sample data. And you'll see it's showing the boxes where those pictures are going to go. And this can help you very easily create that UI. Now, let's take a look at what this looks like when I run it. And I can just the device is selected. The problem there is that I actually have the phone selected in this project. But let's change over to select, this is the startup project, my Windows application, local machine. And I'm just going to run that on my local machine. Deployment errors, not good. OK, I need to rebuild. Ready? One more time. Here we go. And here's my search. So the application runs, it loads the page, it's going out to the network to Flickr, it's searching on flowers, it brings back a grid of pictures. So, and I get, you know, I'm using these native Windows controls in XAML, so I get a lot of things for free, like this animation of scrolling, and I get things like being able to select a picture, et cetera. So the next thing I want to show is how easy it is to take this application over to Windows Phone. And so a couple of different things here. And I'm actually, in the interest of time, I'm actually going to show you this in the completed project. But what we've done here is we've actually created a new file in the shared assets, mainpage.xaml.cs, and we're using the same namespace and a partial class for mainpage. That gives us the ability to put all the code for that class in this shared project. And so I just moved all that code over here. And what I do is if you look at the code in the Windows application, what I've done is there's nothing in it except a constructor. So we pulled all the code out of that page behind. But because it's a partial class, the class is constructed at compile time by combining the shared file with this one. So I have that there. And then in my phone app, same exact thing. Here's my phone UI. And we've made some changes to the phone UI to make it look appropriate here. We changed just some of the margins. That's about all we changed. Exactly the same XAML, and it shows a phone appropriate UI. If we go to the backing file here, you'll see that same thing, almost no code here at all. And I can switch this one over to be the startup project by going set as startup. There's another way to do this too if you're interested. You can actually, on the solution, you can go to the properties, and you can say whichever I want the currently selected project to be the one that's the startup project. So then you'll see as I select a file in either one, it switches automatically, which I think is really nice. So if I switch over to Windows Phone here and say I want to actually deploy that on an emulator, I just click like that and I go deploy, and build started. That's not my emulator. Let's see, the emulator will come up here in a second. Wrong project. There we go. Deploy started. And so what it's doing now is actually launching the emulator of the phone. And the phone emulator runs a full version of Windows Phone 8.1. It's connecting to the Visual Studio session. It's deploying the file. It's running the Flickr application. And you'll see here it's getting the pictures. And one thing that's really neat if you have a touchscreen laptop is you can just go on the emulator and you can touch it directly just like it's a phone. And you can see here I've got all that behavior, same things as the animations. Now what you're seeing there is actually a toast pop-up. Let me actually just show you what that is, because it's very, very easy to add simple toasts and tile behavior to your application now. What we had to do here is you actually go into the package.appmanifest file. This is a file that describes several of the different characteristics of the app. It's an XML file. We have a nice design time experience here for both Windows and Windows Phone that allow you to go through and define certain of the core characteristics of your application. Here, under notifications, we define this as toast capable, yes. And if you want to see the corresponding code, this is all shared code. So it exists in my shared mainpage.xaml.cs file. And I go down here, you'll see at the time that we actually go through here, when we're updating, like let's go back up here. Here's where the photo results get grabbed, Flickr photo results. I've also doing two other things here. I'm updating a tile and I'm sending a toast. And that send toast command goes down and runs this method here where we're just setting up a toast notifier and sending it some strings to send a toast just to demonstrate the functionality. But the other thing we've got here is a tile. Let me just show you how that does, because I can actually go here and let's go back. I didn't want to run it. Back here. And pin this to the start menu. And let's actually make this the large version. And you'll see there, it is just showing the first picture from the stream here. When I run that search, the tile will update. And the tile is actually very, very, it's another very easy thing that's going on here. A tile using a tile updater helper class here to go through and pick up the first picture and put that in the tile. So that's, you know, and that is just the bare bones of what you can do with universal projects. And you'll see there that what you saw is I used the same core logic to drive two UIs that had almost identical content in them to Visual Studio. Tomorrow, I'm going to be giving a talk on building for both Windows and Windows Phone, where we're going to go in depth on a lot of the different strategies you can use to maximize code reuse across both Windows and Windows Phone. There's a number of different things you can do, as well as you can share a whole lot of UI as well. So there are many different ways you can share your work to deliver experiences on both Windows and Windows Phone. So now I want to go into talking a little bit about the app model. And the app model has to do with how applications run on a device. Because applications have a life cycle. On memory-constrained devices like phones and tablets, you can't just launch every process and keep it going all the time like you do on a desktop, like people got used to. And so that means that there are a lot of different things that we do in our app model to support the limited amount of memory of a device, and yet still give developers the ability to deliver the expectations that people have about how those apps should work. Windows Phone, from the very start, has been focused on providing these more affordable devices great, great experiences. I mean, we recognized early on there's a huge market for smartphones at this low price point. And the ones that are available on other operating systems tend to have serious performance issues. And so what this meant for us is we had to spend some time, we had to go back and say, how do we actually get, we wanted to deliver more affordable phones, but we really wanted them to have great, outstanding performance characteristics. And so in Windows Phone 8, we did a lot of work to make sure the operating system ran in 512 megabytes, and great on the higher end devices. In 8.1, we're going even further to make it a better experience. Working well on 512, back on 8, what we did is we gave every application, every third-party application got a memory cap of 150 megabytes. One of the things we noticed after assessing the applications was that about 94% of apps don't need 150 megabytes, 96 were running under 100 megabytes, 80% were running under 80 megabytes. And so we ended up terminating the process of applications that went over this memory cap needlessly, because they didn't actually need that amount of memory. And the user experience suffered, because while we try to keep applications in memory, that means that the applications just get suspended. Say the user gets a phone call while they're playing a game of solitaire. They go back to the solitaire game after the phone call. And if that application got tombstoned, it's terminated, it's going to have to rehydrate that application from storage, as opposed to just going back and launching a suspended, previously suspended process. So this was an impact on the user experience. In Windows Phone 8.1, we've added a new feature called dynamic memory estimation that actually monitors how much memory an application uses over time and adjusts that memory cap appropriately. And so this means a lot more of the applications running on these devices will stay resident in memory and then just can reopen, as opposed to having to launch all the way from a completely terminated state and rehydrating, which is when you get the suspended progress bar that is a very frustrating thing for users. Now, what about multitasking? You know, a lot of what we did with multitasking, like I just mentioned, applications can't just run all the time in the background. There are a certain set of experiences people want background activity for. They want to be able to conduct a background transaction. They may want to update tiles on a periodic basis. They may want to have a resource intense agent, an agent that runs in the background when you're on Wi-Fi. So we wanted to make sure in Phone 8.1 that we had the maximum amount of compatibility with the existing model of 8, So all 8 applications continue to run and behave accordingly on Phone 8.1. But at the same time, we wanted to move to the new model of Windows because there were a lot of new features that got us. We also wanted to make sure that it scaled across the entire phone ecosystem. So in Phone 8.1, there were some additional things we did to improve the user experience. And you may be familiar, if you use Windows Phone, that prior to 8.1, if you ran an application, you hit the Start key, you go back to the Start screen, you do something else, you hit the start key again, and then if you find the icon for the app that had been previously run and you launch it, it launches a new instance. And that's because in Windows Phone, prior to 8.1, we had this notion that if a user launched the application from Start, even if they had previously been doing something, even if we still had that state somewhere, that they wanted a new instance of that app. And it turns out we were wrong. I mean, we heard very vocally from many, many people that they actually just wanted to go back to the running instance of that app. And so that is now the default behavior in Phone 8.1. And that's something I think a lot of people are really happy about. So in Phone 8.1, by default, your app will always go to the previously running state. And 8.1 apps do not close by default when you hit the back key either. And then finally, we have this new app switcher experience. And you may have seen this. We added the close button. For a very long time, Microsoft has been telling folks that they don't need to close applications on mobile devices. We manage the memory for you. And if we need to terminate an instance, we will. But people told us again and again, I want to close an app. I want to be able to affirmatively go close an app. So we added that X. And in 8.1, we added the X in one of the servicing releases in Windows Phone 8. In 8.1, we also have this nice swipe gesture. So you can just terminate an app by swiping up on it in the app switcher. The app switcher is accessible from the back key. We also added trigger-based execution. This came from Windows. This is fantastic. Apps can subscribe to triggers that they're interested in and then run background behavior whenever that trigger gets fired. This enables geofencing, the ability to have an application process occur when you walk into a specific zone that you geographically denote with coordinates and a radius. So the possibilities are just fantastic with that. You can also do push notifications with a trigger. And so what I mean here is that we always had this notion of, in Windows Phone 8 and before, we had 3 different types of push notifications. We had Tile, Toast, and Raw. And Raw was only operable if the user actually had the foreground app running. And everyone was sort of like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah, it didn't really make a lot of sense, because the whole idea of push is to send and direct some behavior to the device even when the app isn't running. Well, what we added here in 8.1 with trigger-based execution is the ability for a raw notification to fire up and generate some activity in a background process. And so you now can have, for example, if you have an application that tracks sports scores, not only can you get a toast if scores change, that's fired from a toast notification, you could actually use a raw notification to fire up a background agent that saves new data to state. So the next time the user runs the app, they get the full stats on that game or what have you, simply automatically, without even having to do anything, because that raw notification came in. Bluetooth LE, you could have Bluetooth LE device pairing automatically fire off some kind of event. Scheduling as sensors. We also have a number of other ones, like update app. Like you could have a trigger when an application gets updated. We have automatic updating of apps in Phone 8.1. And what that means is that a user who has turned this on, and we suspect most people will want automatic updating of their apps, if they have a tile for that app and the app updates in the background, the tile will revert to the default if the application hasn't been run yet. Well, what you could do as a developer to alleviate that problem is you could denote an update trigger so that when your application gets updated, it actually goes and updates that tile so that you don't have to worry about that. Push to wake a task. We're talking about this a little bit. This is just some detail on that. We actually have a session tomorrow on push notification and tiles. where I'll talk in depth about push notification. So I'm not going to go into too much here. Geofencing, I mentioned this, and I actually have a really nice little demonstration of geofencing, but in the interest of time, I think I'm actually going to skip that one because it demonstrates the notion here. I was telling you a little bit about this. In 8, we handled navigation apps. A navigation app is a really interesting scenario because when you're driving a car and you're listening to a navigation, if you get a phone call and you hang up that phone call, and you don't want to have these other activities stop the navigation. You still want those turn-by-turn directions to come through. And in Phone 8, we handled this by creating a continuous background execution notion. And that meant that geographic apps, like a navigation app, could continue to run in the background. And it's a very expensive, blunt force way to accomplish that. What we have now with geofencing is that you can actually have your navigation app simply say, I want to geofence around every turn that's occurring, and then have a background agent that drives the vocalization of the directions upon entering that geofence. So there are a lot of really great scenarios here. You could have a targeted experience where if you run the application, if you enter a geofence, say you want an application that tells you about restaurants, you could say that every restaurant that I have in my database has a geofence around it. When I walk into it, it could change the tile to say, you're by this restaurant, this is really great food, or what have you. So lots of really cool things, up to 1,000 geofences. You can actually do more than 1,000. But 1,000 is what we think is the practical limit. Now, user engagement is a critical piece. Most applications on every platform that get installed, say you overcame the hurdle of someone finding your app and of pushing your app out there and marketing it, and someone installs your app, well, the odds are still against you. Because most applications get installed, used once or twice, and never touched again. Vast majority of apps. We actually think Windows Phone and Windows are much better suited to addressing this problem because we have a number of different ways you can plug into the operating system to expose your app out in a more contextually relevant way. And tiles fit into this. So we, in this release of 8.1, we made significant modifications to our push notification service. We moved from Microsoft Push Notification Service to WNS, Windows Notification Service. There's now one notification service for both Windows and Windows Phone. What this means is that it's much easier, and you can actually use the same push notification channel, too, across the two versions of your app. So you can leverage one push server to generate the activity for both Windows and Windows Phone. Like I said, I'm doing that talk tomorrow, so I'm not going to go in too much depth on WNS right now. Toast notifications, we can talk about that tomorrow as well. But the same exact XML templates are available for phone and for tablet and desktop. And those templates will render appropriately based on which platform you're on. On phone, we announced Action Center. This was a big request from people. A toast would come up, and then it would go away, and if you missed it, you're out of luck, unless the application is handling them in some other way as well. With Action Center, you now have the ability to go in and see those notifications. Now, Action Center goes a step further. It doesn't just track and store push notifications that come in. As a developer, you can manipulate Action Center. So that means that you can send toasts that actually, say you sent a toast that had a sports score, and then that sports score changed. You could send another toast message saying, delete that previous one and insert the new one. And so you can manipulate that list so that the user doesn't open the Action Center and see 500 notifications from your app. It can just see the relevant ones because you deleted the ones that were no longer relevant. And so that's a great feature that allows us to be completely programmable. I know that you can actually have notifications expire now as well. This is something I'll talk about tomorrow. And that's important, too, because I know some folks, like if their sports team had a bad loss and the tile updated to show the loss, and then because we previously didn't have the ability to expire those notifications, that tile would never change, so you'd have that loss in your face all the time. And so developers really wanted to be able to have those types of notifications expire because they weren't timely anymore. Live tiles, same thing. Shared schema across phone and Windows, and now all the Windows templates are available for phone, and that means that it's easier to generate more complex tiles across both, and you can share all of that code as well. You still can, of course, generate your own custom live tile. A lot of people want to do that. They want to have a custom image of the traffic conditions or a custom picture. But we added some really compelling new ones, like this one over here on the right-hand side you'll see. That's looks like the People Hub tile that we have on phone today. So now you as a developer can leverage this template without having to generate that yourself on the fly, and you get the compelling animation too. The animation of those individual images flipping there. That's one of the nice new tiles that we added. There were some substantial changes to packaging and deployment in Phone 8.1.2. We have a single binary format APEX for the packages on both, but we also split the resources out into separate packages and provided a mechanism for efficient download of data. So what this means is, if you're leveraging, say for example, you're leveraging a third-party middleware runtime client like Unity, that Unity the components of the Unity runtime that ship in the context of your app will no longer be shipped to your, it will only go in the package that the user consumes if they don't previously have it installed. And so this level of componentry gets tracked by the manifest and managed by the store, such that if your phone already has a game leveraging Unity, that huge download will not be part of the package that gets sent down to the device. So much, much more efficient download of data. And the same for languages as well. So there's a number of different ways you can do this, and it radically improves the experience of the user installing an application. Install the SD, I mentioned this before as well. The user can decide to install the SD or not. They can also move apps to SD later on if they decide to. You as a developer can say, I don't want my app installed on SD card. And that's important because there are some applications where it may not be appropriate if you're an enterprise. App data model, data roaming, and backup. We now support backup of the start screen. A lot of people were unhappy if they had to wipe their device or get a new device that their start screen, which they slaved over configuring, was no longer there. Configuration data can now roam with the user, and we use OneDrive. So you've logged in with your Microsoft ID. We actually use your OneDrive account to store this data, and it doesn't take up any part of the user's quota on OneDrive. So that said, so it's only up to 100 kilobytes of data, so it's not a lot. It's perfect for your backup data, and it's good for key value pair type data. If you have larger amounts of data you want to store as part of your application experience, you can leverage the OneDrive SDK, but the user has to affirmatively opt into that in the context of the application. Enterprise support was also radically improved in Phone 8.1. We added support for VPN. We added support for SMIME. We added support for a number of different critical business scenarios. Deployment, we had deployment in Phone 8, but it's been improved in 8.1. And it's $299 US to enroll for an enterprise certificate. That gives you the ability as an enterprise to sign your own applications that you deploy in your enterprise. And that means that you don't have to publish your line of business applications to the Windows Store. So it gives an enterprise a tremendous amount of flexibility. You can deploy those apps in your enterprise with a device management server, either our Microsoft ones or several third-party ones, or you can use any other mechanism you want. You could even use a website or email or an SD card to distribute those apps. And I mentioned data sharing here. This simply is just talking about the fact that you can share across those different versions of your app as well. So I want to talk about the share contract just briefly, but we're getting close to the end of the hour, and I wanted to enable, we've got 5 minutes left, I wanted to get some questions. If you had any questions, I know that there's a language issue, but if you do have any questions for me, I wanted to make sure that you had time to ask that in this context. Are there any questions about any of this? Are folks excited about Windows programming? I mean, you're here, I assume you are. No questions? OK, why don't I show you a little bit about the share contract. Contracts are a really interesting notion from Windows that we took over to Windows Phone in this release. And so what this means is basically any application, it's yet one more way that your application can integrate with the native experience of the phone. And that's another way that your application can be exposed to the user. Every time you expose the application to the user outside of the start menu is another opportunity for you to engage with that user. So if your application is appropriate for handling certain types of data, probably a big one here is photos. A lot of photo sharing applications out there, then you want to make sure and register your application as being able to handle the share contract. Because what that gives you is the ability to have your application show up in the native share menu whenever that type of content is being shared. And it's radically easy to do this. So what I have here is a project that sets up, there's two applications in this particular project, and it doesn't have to be two, but I'm showing this in the context of showing you a demo of how another application would call your application. One is a target, and one is a sharing demo application. But really, all you have to do is in the app manifest of the application, you go into declarations, and this is true on both phone and Windows. You go into the declarations and you create a supported declaration for a share target. And basically what I'm saying here is that this application can be a share target, and you can identify the format, and here we've identified text. You can do it, you can also add specific file types if you want. And you can add multiple of those. You can add multiple data formats if you want to support more than one data format. And then in the actual code of the application itself, all you have to do is you basically leverage this library, this class library for data transfer share targets. This is a WinRT class library. And you go in the application here, we've overrided onNavigated2 to actually go in and consume some of the content coming in. So if this application gets launched in the context of a share operation, then those parameters get consumed here, and we leverage them here in the app. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to deploy the target to my emulator instance. And the deploy started. I'm not going to run it because I want to run that deploy succeeded. Let's go back to start here. And then now let's go into my sharing demo and run the application, the sharing application. And what I have here is just a really, really simple application that allows me to type in some text. And then you can click the share button. And what this button does is it launches the share picker. And the share picker is a standard OS-generated dialog that is showing all the applications on your phone that can leverage a share contract. And you'll see that target I just sent through has registered itself here appropriately. And I can click on that. It launches it. And you'll see here that it's consumed the text that I typed in. The way that happens in my share application, let me just show you that really quickly. We're almost out of time. Is on the click of that button, I actually just say data transfer manager show share UI. One line of text. I add the using statement for that class library. And then I've hooked up an object to the data requested object, and I send I get a deferral, which is necessary for some of these asynchronous operations. And then I just simply set the text and the object contents to be the context that I'm sharing. You'll see here's where I set up that main page data requested event. I also, on Navigated From, want to dispose that event, just simply good programming practice. So let's wrap up here. There are a lot of great resources available here. If you're new to phone development, we have our Jumpstart training. We also, if you're new to programming, we have the Absolute Beginners training for development. The URLs are right there. You can also go to my weblog, larrylieberman.com. I have a resources link there, which will show you all of these. Basically, I just want to leave you with the notion that this release was all about giving you the ability to create universal projects and have as much reach as possible across all those folks using tablets, PCs, and phones. But it was also about protecting your investments and giving you the ability and supporting lower-end devices in a better, more compelling way. So we added trigger-based multitasking, enhanced deployment options, backup and roaming, and WNS to make push notifications much easier. This is a substantial release. I'm really excited about it. And I encourage you, I'll be here tomorrow giving two sessions. I'm also available afterwards. I'm going to be at the hackathon tonight. Please feel free to come up and talk to me about what you're doing. I'd love to get more information about the challenges you have and what you're interested in doing with Windows Phone or Windows. Thank you very much for your attention, and have a good time at the rest of the conference.